As Don was pointing out, last week we needed the air and we had the heat. So this week we need the heat and we got the air. So maybe next week we'll turn it all off and the weather will go really crazy. So it's good to see everybody here this morning, though. A couple of announcements. Let's see here. Today is Memorial Day. Well, technically, I guess tomorrow is Memorial Day. but it is Memorial Day weekend. And so, of course, we want to remember those who have sacrificed for our freedoms. And sometimes I think that when we do that, we think about the people who died in wars and things like that. But some of you know, some of you don't know, my stepfather died because of complications from serving in Vietnam. And we kind of forget that war doesn't just take life immediately. Sometimes it takes life over time. And so Memorial Day is a time to remember not just those who have died in war, but have died in service. So we thank everyone who has made that sacrifice, and especially the families that they have left behind. Wanda's current office hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 12 to 4. And she says, if you call the office or her cell phone and don't get her, leave her a message. Choir practice is back on at 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. And then Bible study is at 6 p.m. on Wednesdays. And we're about halfway through the book of Hebrews. So everyone is welcome to join us there. And we also have it online as well to watch if you're unable to make it for whatever reason. Also, AA are currently meeting right now on Wednesdays at 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall. And we have a few pecans and almonds left. You can see they're in your bulletin insert. And other than that, there aren't any really new announcements. So let us begin our worship service with the chiming of the hour. As you're able to, please stand for our first hymn, number 92, if you happen to have a United Methodist hymnal. For the beauty of the earth, we will sing verses 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. Thank you for remaining standing as we affirm our faith together with the Apostles' Creed, traditional version number 881 in the United Methodist Hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. And just before I got here this morning, Terry told me that she was headed to the hospital for Ron. Do you have any more information, Norlie? We'll keep Terry and Ron in our prayers. also, if you will, continue to keep Larry in your prayers and Arville. Larry has been able to get some assistance at the house, but his assistant has been having her own personal things, and so they're trying to coordinate how all that works. So hopefully Larry will be able to get back to church and to Bible study and to choir practice and all the things that he enjoys doing. He has been able to come to the church and do a few things here and there, but just keep him and Arville in your prayers, and also the nurse that is helping with them. So, does anyone else have any prayer requests they'd like to share? All right, well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we come before you today on this Sunday before Memorial Day, a day when we remember the sacrifice of all of those who have served our country. Lord, it is a way fitting, I think, to remind us also of the ultimate sacrifice that Christ gave to free us from our sins, to free us from guilt, to free us from shame, to free us from our dark desires, to free us from those things that would try to destroy us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made this sacrifice. We pray, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones in military conflict, whether it be immediately or through prolonged methods. May you provide comfort, strength, and healing to all of those who need you. Lord, we pray today for Larry and Arville and for this lady that is helping to provide care for Arville. We pray that you would be with all of them and that everything that they need, you would supply. We pray also, Lord, for Terry and for Ron. We pray for Terry for safety as she travels back and forth. And for Ron, for the doctors to find out what's going on with him and to be able to effectively treat it. Lord, we pray for our church and for all of those who are members here, as well as those who may not be officially members but who attend here. May you bless us all in all things. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we be reminded Worship is about you and not about us. May your Spirit guide us as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and glorious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you're able to, please stand for our second hymn, number 432 in the United Methodist Hymnal, Jesu, Jesu, and we will sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5, and we're going to start with the refrain. So please stand as you're able for our next hymn. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we'd like to say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. And again, you can give at either one of the baskets at the two different doors. You can give online. And you can also give either by mailing in our to our mailbox or dropping it off in our mailbox or by bringing it by the office when Wanda and I are here. So however you decide to give, we pray that you would follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit in all things. Let us say a blessing over our tithes and offerings. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, we ask that you would remind us, Lord, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and for our neighbors. May you bless the givers, may you bless the receivers, may all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we will have an anthem from our choir, His Eye is on the Sparrow. Thank you for our choir and for our choir director, this beautiful song. As you're able to, please stand for the reading of Holy Scripture. Our scripture today is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah writes, In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. They were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated. Isaiah is one of what we call the major prophets. We have major prophets, and then we have the minor prophets of the writing prophets. And that's kind of makes us misunderstand things, because when we think of major prophets and minor prophets, we think the major prophets are the important ones, and the minor ones are the unimportant ones, right? That's kind of what major and minor feel like. but really all it means is that the major prophets, which are Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, wrote a lot. And the minor prophets, which is all the other guys whose names nobody can pronounce, wrote a little bit, right? They have short books. But what's interesting in Isaiah's book is that the other major prophets and many of the minor prophets begin with the call to ministry. Isaiah spends five chapters prophesying. I mean, you go back and all the way to chapter one, and it's a lot. God is bringing accusations against Israel and various people, and it's just all this stuff about, "I'm going to crush the grapes in the winepress of my wrath," and all these kinds of things. And then in chapter 6, Isaiah's call comes. And for us who don't speak Hebrew, we may miss something very important in Isaiah's call. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died." King Uzziah, the name Uzziah, means "my hope." Isaiah is saying, "In the year that my hope died, my call came." Now, we don't want to read too much into that. Uzziah is a name, right? It would be like saying, "In the year that King Richard died," right? But Scripture does have, like all good works of literature, wordplay. And I think that maybe there's a reason that God had Uzziah named Uzziah, so that there could be this wordplay. What does Isaiah tell us? He says, "In the year that my hope died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple." See, King Uzziah was a good man. Isaiah prophesied during a time of what we call the divided kingdom. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom had split by this point. And the southern kingdom of Judah had some good kings and a lot of bad kings, but the northern kingdom of Israel had terrible kings. They were all bad. They were awful. And in this time period where the land that God had promised them was split, and in this time period where the kings of the north were all wicked and the kings of the south were depends, to have a good king was a wonderful thing. It's always a good thing to have a good king, right? It's always nice to have good leaders, right? It does the nation good. It does the organization good. It does the group good to have good leaders. But what happens is that this good leader, this hope, can also be translated my strength. The year that this great king died, Isaiah saw the Lord revealed. And what is God doing? He's sitting on a throne. Anybody here know what it means when the king sits on a throne? It means two things. One is that it could be he's sitting for judgment, right? Kings originally were the ones, they were the judges of the land, right? They were sort of the Supreme Court of the land. You couldn't resolve something, you got it before the king, and the king said it, and whatever the king said, that's what was done, right? His word was law. So it's judgment. But we know from David's sin with Bathsheba that kings were expected to be out and about, right? They weren't expected to hang out in the castle while their people went and fought wars and did all these kinds of things, right? They were expected to be out there. So when a king sits on his throne, it means that the kingdom is at peace. There's some internal things that have to be judged, of course, but it means the king doesn't have anything to worry about. I think we can all agree that these last couple of years now, since I guess mid-2020 or early 2020, going on into, I guess it hadn't been quite a couple of years, but it sure does seem like it, sure feels like it. It's been difficult to find strength and hope. Within our own denomination, we're busy squabbling and fighting about different things, right? Within our own country, we're busy squabbling and fighting about different things. Around the world, we're busy squabbling and fighting about different things. And then we have this COVID-19 thing that comes in, right? And it throws everything out of whack. And, you know, we don't know who to trust. We don't know who to believe. And it seems like nobody else does either. Everything that we've placed our hope in, everything that we've placed our, considered our strength, it feels like it's failing us at times, right? And then here behind me, it being Memorial Sunday, we have the American flag. And we know that, you know, we have the 50 stars there. Can't see all 50 in case y'all were trying to count, but there are 50 stars on the American flag. The red and the white and the blue and even that sometimes feels tarnished. Even that sometimes feels like it doesn't hold much strength. It feels like it doesn't have a lot of hope. But when we read these words of Isaiah, we're reminded of something. This isn't the first time in human history where bad things happened. This isn't the first time in human history where our strength failed, where our hope diminished. It's not. I wish I had thought to send the video to Keith, but then we would have gotten lost in watching a movie. But if you've ever seen the Lord of the Rings series by Peter Jackson, the obviously based on the book series by J.R.R. Tolkien, there's a period within the movie called the Battle of Helm's Deep. Helm's Deep is a fortress that is built into the side of a mountain, basically. And, you know, it's a pretty impenetrable fortress. I mean, if you're built on the side of a mountain, the only way to get to it is to come forward, because you can't really take an army behind a mountain, right? You can send scouts or, you know, I guess commandos or whatever, but you can't really defeat a fortress. So it's impenetrable. But in the movie, this is where the forces of good, if you will, make their final stand. That's what they're thinking. You know, we're going to go down fighting. They don't have any hope. It's dark. Here come all these monsters. Here come all these creatures. You know, we're doing a good job of getting rid of them, but they just keep coming, and they just keep coming, and they just keep coming. From a place called Mordor, which is essentially hell in Tolkien's world. And there are rallying cries, and there are shouts, and there are heroic moments, and there are moments of laughter. Because guess what? Even in the darkest moments, people find things to laugh about, right? But all hope is lost. But then off in the distance, a light shines. And Gandalf, who was the gray, who they thought had died, who is now the white, who is, spoiler alert, the Christ figure of the Lord of the Rings series, appears. And he's brought reinforcements. And they win the battle. Now, I know that's a movie. I know it is. We all know it's a movie. But it's true to so much of human existence. And it's the central theme of Christianity. Think about the disciples. Jesus is dead. The rebellion is over. We're afraid that the Jews are going to come and kill us next. I shouldn't say the Jews, because they were Jews too. We're afraid that the Jewish leaders are going to come kill us next. So we've hidden in a room. We've locked ourselves in. We don't know what to do. It's dark. Our strength is gone. Our hope has died. And then the women come with this ridiculous story. Jesus is alive. He's been resurrected. You know, false hope is worse than no hope. Because false hope makes it even worse when you find out it's false, right? So the disciples are thinking, don't come to us with all that crazy talk. But then what does Scripture tell us happens? Yeah, we know that Peter and John have a race to see who can get to the tomb first. We know all that. But what happens to all the disciples? Jesus appears in their midst, in the darkness where they're locked in, where their hope and their despair, their hope is gone, their despair is strengthening. Jesus appears. And the scripture makes it, you know, it gives it pretty language, but literally Jesus says, "Hey guys, what's up? Did you miss me?" I mean, that's essentially what Jesus says. "Here I am. See, look, it's me. You're not crazy. What I told you was going to happen, happened." It's pretty cool, isn't it? I was talking to Larry the other day. He was here, and we were talking about, you know, the state of our particular expression of the church, Rockwood United Methodist Church. And, you know, it's no secret that we have attendance being down. That's no secret. There are various reasons for that. And because of attendance being down and such, it's no secret that giving is down. That's, you know, that comes with the territory. Hard things happen because of those types of things. Hard decisions have to be made. Unpopular decisions have to be made. We know all that stuff. But I know this. The first five chapters of Isaiah are nothing but doom and gloom, with a tiny bit of hope, because that's how sometimes prophecy works. Tiny bit of hope. But chapter 6, my hope, my strength died, and God called one of the greatest prophets to tell the people his message. And do you know it's in the next, what, 5/6 of the book or whatever? That's a terrible fraction, but, you know, you get the idea. What's in there? The suffering servant is in there, right? He was bruised for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment for our sins was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall give birth to a child. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's all after my hope and my strength died. Every bit of it. Incidentally, Isaiah shares the same name as Jesus. It's a different pronunciation, a little bit different spelling, but it's the same name, basically. It means Yahweh saves, essentially. Yahweh is salvation, that type of thing. See, that's the beauty of Christianity. Christianity takes place in real time. You can go back and find out when King Uzziah died. You can go and find out roughly when the census happened. There's a little bit of debate about when all that happened, when Jesus was born and they had the census and all that. But you can find it. You can find out when Pilate ruled and where he lived, and you can find out things about Pontius Pilate. You can find out things about Roman governors and Herod and all the places that are mentioned from Genesis through most of them, you can get a pretty good idea of where they were. Some of them, they're lost to history only because the names changed so much. But it's all there. Because the beauty of Scripture is that our God doesn't do heroic things somewhere else. Our God is a God of hope. And when we are there with our backs to the wall and all the darkness ready to envelop us, He comes from the cross. And He sits down on the throne. And He says, "You guys ready for the next thing? Because I'm kind of bored with what's going on now." I don't mean to make it sound like God is flippant about our suffering. He's not. It's just simply that God knows. God saves. God has conquered our greatest enemy, which is death, and our second greatest enemy, which is sin. What's He got to worry about? Brothers and sisters, I encourage you. Life's difficult. It doesn't help that all you got to do is turn on your TV or go on the internet and you can see all kinds of horrible things going on, right? You absolutely can. I've gone through my Facebook feed. I don't know how many times I got the little news feed thing, right? And you can tell it you don't want to read these horrible stories about terrible things happening. And then they say, "Okay, we won't show you those. But what about these over here?" You know? Don't even get on Twitter. I don't even get on Twitter because Twitter is just filled with, man, we won't even go there. But you know what? It's going to be okay. Because as Paul reminds us, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Nothing this world has can overcome the church. And nothing this world has can kill the people of God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day and for the many blessings that You give us. Help us, Lord, to do the work of Your kingdom in all things, remembering that no matter how difficult life may be, it is always darkest before the dawn, but the dawn always comes. You are the dawn. You will always come for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And now, brothers and sisters, receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of heaven. And taking them, may you give them to all whom you encounter. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are dismissed. Go in peace. Amen.